PT Final Exam is an awesome resource for students preparing to take the National Physical Therapy Exam. Visit them online at ptfinalexam.com/pintcast. That's ptfinalexam.com/pintcast.
This is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
Let's do it.
All right. Next episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now. I want to say thank you to everybody who's helped us get to, more than 2,000 Twitter followers. Look at that. We've got a mini tweetable following. I don't really know what we do on Twitter, but Rachel and Tom and Molly, those guys helped me out with the podcast. They've been really excited about that whole Twitter thing. So you can follow us online on Twitter at PT Pintcast, on Facebook as well, or the website ptpintcast.com. From there, you can find out more information about the stuff you hear here. By that, we mean after the episode, after you've had your pint and your parting shots, you can check out a chaser. That's what you do after the shots, right? You got to get that taste out of your mouth. So we have chasers up on our blog section at ptpintcast.com. If there's something we talk about in an episode, we put the link to that thing that we talked about. If there's someone that we talk about in an episode, we put a link to that someone in the chaser. So you can check that online at ptpintcast.com. Just click on the blog. Let's get to tonight's episode, though. Our guest tonight received her Master of Science in Physical Therapy from Springfield College in 2008, went on to obtain her doctorate in PT from Sage College in 2011. She played 4 years of collegiate lacrosse, achieving academic All-American honors. She is board-certified sports clinical specialist and an active volunteer in the sports medicine community, including work with the Olympic Training Center, U.S. Figure Skating, and the Boston Athletic Association. Currently working at Mass General in their sports medicine division, she also serves as the Massachusetts chair of STAND, the Haiti Project, and is their director of marketing. STAND is a small nonprofit group practicing physical therapy in Haiti with the hopes of establishing permanent access to orthopedic rehabilitative services. Above all, our guest tonight is a lover of poodle mixes and a pajama enthusiast. We're going to dive into this. Welcome to the PT Pintcast, Rachel Lampros. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jimmy. Thank you for having me.
First questions are always the hardest. What are we drinking tonight?
I'm drinking a local brew. It's called Boom Sauce by Lord Hobo Brewery out in Woburn, Mass. Primarily because the name was pretty sick, and I thought it really would get this night started on the right foot.
I like how people are now pre-preparing. We've had some guests say, you know, I knew I had to run out and get a good beer. I couldn't just go with like the Coors Light in the fridge if I was coming on the show. So I like that people are getting this. What was that called again? Boom what?
Boom Sauce. I actually had to call my brother and be like, what was going to make me sound really cool tonight?
Well, Boom Sauce it is. Well, cheers to that. I'm going a suggestion for my roommate. I've had this brewery on the show before, Flying Dog, and we're doing their Bloodline tonight, which is their Blood Orange Ale. So Rachel, cheers to you for the episode tonight. Boom Sauce.
Cheers.
All right, that's not bad right there. All right, so in a previous episode, we talked to some members of the organization that you work with, just got back from a trip with from Haiti. We talked to Justin. He was really excited about this project. One of our first episodes, and I thought it told a really, really cool story. And I made a promise to Justin when we had that episode, months ago. And I said, we're going to do something else for STAND. And so I want to make sure I lead off with the website, just in case anybody wants to get more information. StandHaitiProject.org, and you can follow those guys on Twitter, and you should, at StandHaiti. Haiti. So I gave a little bit of a background before, and of course we had the episode from Justin. You should listen to that one too. Got some great stories. But when you're explaining to someone what STAND is, what do you say? Why'd you get involved?
I mean, it's kind of a random story, to be honest with you.
I love drinking and telling random stories. Those are my two favorite things.
We're going to get along great then.
Let's do it.
So, I mean, after the earthquake, I kind of think the Haiti crisis kind of resonated with me, and I was looking for opportunities to help. And it started off with just like little medical equipment drives and just communicating with larger groups that are doing good. And Justin kind of reached out to me after an email feed and was telling me about the great work they do there. So, I mean, in a pinch, what we do there is we go to this really poor community and we just offer as much medical care as we can provide using every member of the team collaborating as a group effort to treat what we can and to refer out what we can't.
The cool part about Stand that I like a lot is not that you guys are just going down there doing what you can and then packing up your stuff and leaving. That's the whole idea. You want to provide sustainable. You want to teach these people how to fish and how to do it themselves so you guys can move on and go help some more people. So I think that's another thing that separates Stand from some other service projects that are done is you guys want to leave something behind, and that's something you want to keep going on.
Absolutely. I think even after the earthquake, it got worse, but Haiti as a country really relies on these NGOs, these non-governmental organizations for help. Unfortunately, a lot of the volunteers can only be there for a short period of time. So you're there for 2 weeks, you make this small kind of ripple effect, and you come back a year later and it's, you know, the same, if not worse, as when you left. So I think Stand really is separated from some of these other groups because we do a ton of teaching in the community. We use the translators. We use kind of this rehab tech and nursing program nearby to really get the community involved to learn about what we're doing there so that they can carry on what we're doing and hopefully have the clinic running completely independently at some point.
Now, I'm going to start from the start just because I feel like I know a little more about Stand than I guess the average person just having Justin on the show. There's a really, really, really great, well-done video that tells a great story and really paints a good visual picture. And I mean, if you can get through that one without getting teary-eyed, you don't have a soul. And you can see that video on the website, StandHaitiProject.org. And the idea is that you guys want to offer autonomy and sustainability, but walk me through what it's like. How many trips have you been on so far?
So I've been on 2 trips so far. I went my first trip I did a week only just because I really had no idea what I was getting into. I knew kind of this, had this cursory understanding of what a third world country was and what I could expect in terms of the medical care walking in there. But when I first got there, I was completely ill-equipped to deal with the things that were coming through the door.
So let's say Justin convinces me to go on a trip because he's been bugging me. He's been emailing every once in a while. And I'm saying, hey, man, I will come. Let me just get through school and all that and get a job and maybe, you know, pay rent by myself once or twice, and then I'll come and help you in Haiti. But you employ about 48 people every time you visit. So you gather a bunch of physical therapists and other types of medical professionals. You say, hey, we're picking this date. Here's when we're going. Here's where we're going. Everybody come on board. From that moment on, what's it like? Walk me through how you get prepared for the trip and what's it like when your boots on the ground?
Sure. Justin and Morgan do a really good job with kind of delineating like what you need versus what you might want to bring on the trip. And a lot of it is really trying to equip the clinic so that we can operate smoothly. So, you know, getting donated medical equipment, bringing tools and supplies that we'll need to effectively treat our patients. So to be honest with you, 90% of my suitcase right now is really just stuff to help people with. It's not really like, you know, personal hygiene stuff is compromised sometimes when you're in Haiti. To just bring as much stuff as you can to help. And once you get there,
What sort of stuff are you bringing? What sort of stuff do you need in case someone wanted to, you know, maybe write a check or donate?
Right now, I think the hardest thing is to get the equipment to the facility. So the way Haiti works, you can't just ship a box of equipment to the clinic and, you know, hope it's going to get there. There is a 100% chance that it will not get to the clinic and will be raided at some point. Yeah. It does kind of suck. So a lot of it we use, we just get extra bags and we pay the airline and we get it over there with the hopes that it will make it through customs and will eventually get to the clinic. So a lot of it's like crutches, canes, walkers, any sort of assistive devices, adaptive equipment we can bring. Our pediatric department is fantastic. So it's a lot of AFOs that the kids are going to grow out of eventually and just different kind of equipment our orthotic specialists can work with. We have a fantastic orthotic team. She's like a MacGyver, Lori Luback. She can do anything you want out of any piece of AFO, knee brace. It's unbelievable because you have to be resourceful out there because you might not have the size you want or, you know, the side you want left or right. So you just got to be resourceful. And the creativity out there is really pretty amazing.
That's cool. All right. So can people make donations? Is financial the best way to do it? This way you can kind of bring more stuff or get some stuff that you need and then hike it with you so you know it gets there?
I think, yeah. I mean, our project's fairly young at this point. This will be our third trip coming up in September, October. So funding is always an issue to make sure that we can keep the clinic running. You know, there are costs incurred by the volunteers going that the organization takes over, and then getting the equipment, paying the translators, paying our staff to keep the clinic running while we're not there. So monetary donations are always welcome. I think too, getting people excited about the program, you know, students, clinicians looking for some way to help kind of outside themselves. And I think we're really, for me, it was a real eye-opening experience to work in the States and kind of take for granted some of this medical triage that we see in the clinic. I work outpatient orthopedics, So by the time they see me, they've already seen maybe one or two other clinicians. They've got diagnostic imaging done and some sort of diagnosis. In Haiti, you have none of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're seeing people with these chronic ailments, malfracture management, neurologic diseases, and so you all have to screen out right off the bat. So it's just it's really eye-opening to see like the stark contrast between third world and first world.
So if people want to help, again, standhaitiproject.org, and we're going to have some links available in the chaser to this episode on the website, ptpinecast.com. Okay, so you land down there. You're very limited hygiene projects. Maybe you're a little ripe, maybe you're a little smelly, but that was just enough to make some more room for another AFO, and you got that. Now your boots on the ground. Where are you guys set up? What's the building like? Is it donated? Are you just using it temporarily? Or where are you guys? Because you said this is going to be your third trip coming up. You guys are relatively new.
Yeah, so our clinic's in the northwest part of Haiti, so it's a little bit of a hike from where we land in Port-au-Prince. We're in Port-au-Prince, which is one of the poorest communities in Haiti. So our clinic itself is actually a house, which is probably one of the only houses that actually stand and have a foundation. Wow. Within the community. So we have a house family that lives there with two children, and they basically just maintain the facility while we're not there. And then once we get there, the bottom floor is all the clinic. So we've got our tables. We've got a little bit of a triage area where there's pediatrics in the front. You've got this general medicine area for our nurses, our physician's assistants, et cetera, to kind of work with some of the more systemic stuff we're seeing. And then just treatment tables everywhere. So the second floor is where we kind of bunk up. And then a lot of us sleep on the roof because it gets pretty hot, believe it or not, in Haiti.
Yeah,
so sometimes staying on the roof is nice. To be honest with you, for that many people with such varying backgrounds to come together in a week or 2 week period to work so cohesively has been really impressive, because it's busy. We got, you know, at the beginning of the day, we have 180 patients lined up the door at 7 o'clock ready to go. So we're treating effectively and spending quality time with each patient, but there's a lot of people in and out of there.
So you mentioned an orthotist. Who else are you bringing down there? Because you guys are going with physical therapists and other medical practitioners. Who else is on the team?
We always try to include a prosthetist. There are a lot of amputees in the area, either from the earthquake or other just bad disease pathologies that required amputation. We had a six-year-old girl who had club foot that got infected and eventually had transtibial amputation. So, you know, we want to keep at least one prosthetist, one orthotist on staff just to help with prosthetic management. I mean, she grew out of her prosthetic within 6 months, so we needed a new one. It's pretty open to the PTs, students, older clinicians that are looking just to have a change in kind of their daily life. We've been working with physician's assistants, nurse practitioners, RNs. We usually like to keep at least one or two gen med staff on board, because at the end of the day, I'm not going to be able to give them the appropriate medication to help with some, you know, systemic issue. So it's a good resource, and I think it keeps everybody in check to make sure we're screening for the right things.
So you mentioned before MacGyver with your orthotist, but I think you can reference another great 80s TV show in what you guys sound like. It's more like the A-Team.
I like that. That's
you got Face Man, you got Hannibal, Hallamad Murdock, and B.A. Baracus. You come together. If there's a problem, you can find them. You got the A-Team. What's it like when you guys are treating? I heard from Justin that sometimes the line is down the road before you guys even open, because people find out you're coming and really need your services. So what's it like when you guys kick the doors open on a trip?
I think day one is always, there's a little bit of nerves, because you never know what's going to walk through the door. It could be something as generic as, you know, I'm a fisherman, I have back pain, and it's been going on for a couple of years, or, hey, I broke my leg 15 months ago, and I haven't been able to walk since. So it's such a varying degree of what's going to come through the door. You get a little anxious, because you're like, I don't know what to expect. It's not like your day in the States where you can look at your schedule at a glance and be like, oh, I got my rotator cuff repair, I got my total knee. You kind of have some semblance to prepare. It's really like they come in the door, and you do the best you can. So, you know, there's a fair amount of just kind of excitement and, you know, eagerness to help and get ready. I think it's a cool environment because the clinic's really open, and for have that kind of open space in Haiti, we're really lucky, because it's usually like very small little tin huts or infrastructures with like lots of tiny rooms off of it. And we have open space. So say I have a patient that is really neuro-based. You know, I work primarily in ortho, so for me to see an acute stroke is a little outside my wheelhouse. I can grab my friend Hallie and say, oh, Hallie, this is definitely your patient. Let's swap. I'll work on this guy. I think that took a little bit of the anxiety off the edge off of me my second trip, because I knew it was such a collaborative effort that you do the best you can. You take the history. You know, like I saw wound care stuff that, you know, I can't do wound care. You know, I have my limits. There's only so much I can do. The smells just make me a little off. off. So you grab that wound care guy and you hand off the baton. So it's a really good team and it attracts good people. You know, you're not going to find some jerk that's like, yeah, I'm going to take a week out of work and go to this country where I'm going to be hot. I'm going to be sleeping on a cot and not spend time with my kids, my dog, my family, my vacation time.
My Wi-Fi, my air conditioner.
Exactly. So
who does it attract and how do you get there? Because we didn't delve into this with Justin the first time. Let's say you convince some people, and I really hope we do when they're listening to this episode, we convince a couple people to go online, to check out your website, watch that video if you're on the fence, and you'll be on the next trip, standhaityproject.org. How does someone get on the trip? Do you have to fundraise, or how does it actually work?
There's a little bit of fundraising involved. At this point, we're not at the point with our organization that we can sponsor individual volunteers. So depending on your duration, there is a fee incurred. But that fee includes your travel, your lodging, your food, and all the kind of nits and bits of being at the clinic. So there is a little bit of monetary expense there. But who's eligible? Anybody that's passionate about PT and wants to help people. I mean, if you want to help people and you're willing to learn and willing to kind of step outside your comfort zone, this is the place for you.
Justin and Morgan really, really stressed, you know, they were kind of dropping hints like bowling balls, like we take students too. So I want to make sure that was mentioned. You mentioned it earlier, but I want to make sure that was said again. Is you guys looking for people who are willing to learn, forward thinking, a little bit take charge, and again, willing to be uncomfortable for a good cause and go into a place like Haiti?
Absolutely. This last trip, we had three unbelievable students from the University of Buffalo, and they were just about to go on their first clinical rotation. So they're like really fresh, ready to get their hands on people. As a student, I have to say, you're going to see every scope of our practice in that week or two. Like you see wound care, you see pediatrics, you see neurology, you see ortho, prosthetics, orthotics. You're seeing everything you can jam-packed into that like 1 week. So if you want exposure, if you're not sure, like, am I the ortho guy? Am I the neuro guy? Like, this is the place to figure it out. Justin and Morgan are such fantastic teachers. Having them as our leaders is just an awesome opportunity. I know myself, you know, my manual skills, I was like, I got these, you know, three things I feel really comfortable with. And then, like, you give me a neck pain patient, there's no way I'm, like, going and manipulating a C-spine. But Justin, was like, this last trip was like, Rach, you're not leaving until you manip a T-spine. Or C-spine. I was like, I don't know, Justin. I just think I'm going to throw up or something. It's going to get bad. But the guy is so patient and he's just like so hands-on. It's just an awesome group to work for. I have to say, I feel really lucky to have found these two and to have them kind of like, it's just leading the way. I mean, everything else just kind of works out.
Let's go back to the students from Buffalo. How'd they do? What was it like? Are they deer in headlights on day one? And then by the end of a trip, what are they, old salt? They're just going with the flow or what? How'd it go?
They were awesome. To be honest with you, there was like maybe a fraction of a second where they were like, what did I sign up for? Just because of the stuff that was coming through.
That's great.
But they're hands-on asking questions, like starting treatment. We'd have them like start the subjective stuff and then report back and say, all right, what would you do? So in a sense, it was almost like a jam-packed clinic. You know, obviously under the discretion of like a PT, but these guys are great. I mean, you have to be a kind of a special person to be able to go in that environment and really excel. And these kids just like grabbed the bull by the horns and went with it. So that was really cool.
That is cool. That's got to be a hell of a confidence booster too as a student.
Oh, yeah. I think they all went to like this like private practice ortho clinic and were like, so do I set that fracture or am I going to relocate that shoulder? Like, what's the plan here?
They got to dial it back when they get back to the States a little bit. But yeah, what are you going to see, you know, in Buffalo that's going to compare to Haiti in terms of severity and variety?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to say for my own practice, like I've been working ortho for 8 years now, so I feel like pretty comfortable with my trade. You know, you go to Haiti and you're like, I've never seen a acute dislocated shoulder. Like I've heard about it and I've heard how to reduce it, but like, oh crap, this is here right now. Like this is what we're going to do. It's just, it really pushes you to expand your clinical practice. And for me, it really motivated me to go back and say, all right, well, I got to go over my gen med because I feel like I'm not screening out for X, Y, Z effectively. And I'm spending a lot more time using the nurse. And that lady's super busy. So I want to make sure that I'm being the best clinician I can, reviewing some of that stuff so I can be a little bit more effective, I guess.
Well, all right. So my goal in bringing you on and bringing Justin and Morgan is to spread the story and the story of Stand Haiti. And again, you can check out the video, standhaitiproject.org. Really, really well done and tells a story. But every trip's got to have a million stories. And you've been on the trip before. So I want to hear a story from you. Justin told a story about somebody diagnosing a AAA. Also talked about in the video, getting a prosthetic for someone who had bilateral quad tendon.
Yeah, yeah, I had a machete. Yeah, attacked him.
Machete, yeah. Bilateral quad tendon by a machete attack, and they wound up working with that. You don't find that anywhere else. So what's a story that you brought back from one of your trips? Where's a moment where when you got off the plane and the dust finally settled, when you got home, when someone said, what was it like? And you said, take a listen to this. I've got a story. What's that moment for you?
That's a really hard question. I mean, I was really privileged last time because I'm the director of marketing that I'm treating, but I'm also witnessing other clinicians do like really wonderful things. My last trip was my last patient on the last Friday. I had this like 65-year-old gentleman being carried in by his two sons and his niece. And he gets down the table and his right leg is like completely atrophied. And you look at his tibia and it's just at maybe like a 25-degree oblique angle, just completely fractured.
Wow.
So in Haiti, the subjective history is really hard to get. They don't always correlate like events with when things started or how they started. Fortunately, this was fairly clear cut. I got hit by a moped. I was on the ground. Some guy wrapped some banana leaves on me, and that's the only medical care I've gotten since. All right. Well, when did this happen? 13 weeks ago. Does not look 13 weeks ago. So I'm like, how long ago? 15 weeks. I'm like, weeks? 15 months ago, this guy fractured his tibia. I'm holding in a plane with it, and the thing is complete non-union. It's still open. It's still not reduced. And we're in a clinic. We don't have the casting materials. I don't have any way to visualize this to reduce it. And at this point, is this actually going to make any sort of progress in terms of bony healing? Probably not. I mean, the Haitians have a lot of issues with malnourishment, so their healing quality is compromised to begin with. So we're like, coming high, or what the heck am I going to do for this guy? He hasn't walked in over a year. Right. I mean, your son's been carrying you around for over a year. Maybe we'll use a CAM boot and we'll have him on crutches, but it wasn't really fixating it enough. The location of it was too proximal, and I wasn't feeling great about it. So Morgan and I kind of, we talked about it. We ended up putting him in an AFO with just a little extra posting. And we just really tied that sucker down. And the guy walked out of there with crutches and an AFO. And we're like, listen, come back in September. We're going to reevaluate you. Is this thing going to heal? Who knows? But we'll try to get some weight bearing through it to see if it'll maybe generate some sort of bony healing. But the guy walked, you know, versus being carried out. Now maybe he can work a little bit, get some money for his family. You know, that kind of stuff is just crazy. You know, you didn't walk for a year and a half. Like, that's, how'd you function? Your family's carrying you around. So now your sons can't work because they're responsible for carrying you around all day. Just affects the whole family.
And PT was that bridge. You guys being there is at least giving him a chance. I mean, that's all you can really say is that you guys being there is going to give some people an opportunity to get better for themselves. And that's what Stan is really all about. Giving that country, giving that local community a chance to figure out what this thing like PT is and how it can keep going and sustain itself. You're just giving them a chance, really.
These guys are so willing to commit to whatever program you have. There's not a lot of like salesmanship involved. You tell them you need to do X, Y, Z. These guys are asking questions. Well, what about this, this, and this? They're so compliant and they're so grateful for any kind of pearls you can provide. A lot of times you'll be treating them and you're like, okay, well, we're treating you for your neck. You know, that you finished your neck. Is there anything else I can do for you today? Well, what about my knee? Okay, you treat your knee. Anything else I can do for you today? What about my ankle? You end up treating like 8 body parts. But at the end of the day, that person leaves. They feel like someone's like listened to them. They've had some medical care and they're going to do everything you just said. It's really rewarding from as a clinician, because, you know, everyone has a patient where you're like just screaming at them to do their home program and you're like pulling them down each exercise. It's just dragging. You do not see that in Haiti. These people are so thankful to have a medical professional to listen to their symptoms and tell them what's wrong and tell them how to fix it.
Yeah, nobody's going to yes you to death down in Haiti. They're going to make sure they take in everything you're saying.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, a lot of these people have never seen a medical practitioner in their whole life. You know, they're traveling days to get to our clinic. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned to ask is like, how did you hear about our clinic and how long have you waited to be seen? And at the end of the day, these people are waiting like 14 hours to see me. So, like, yeah, I'm tired, but I haven't waited 14 hours to see anything. I mean, that's crazy. Can you imagine just sitting in the hot Haitian sun waiting for a medical professional? I'm not going to do that. it's powerful stuff.
Yeah. More information. I want to make sure I say this website enough that I ingrain it in people's brain, and they definitely check it out. StandHaitiProject.org. You can check them on Twitter at StandHaiti. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back with Rachel, I want to hear more about how PTs can get involved in atypical ways, how Rachel's done it and is doing it, and we'll get into what it actually means to be a pajama enthusiast. We're back in 60 on the PT Pinecast. Don't move.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This is the PT Pinecast.
PT Final Exam is an awesome resource for students preparing to take the National Physical Therapy Exam. 6-week online review courses with live webinars, personal attention from instructors through email, phone, or Skype, and practice tests. Choose from their Mastermind Study Group or the NPTE Home Study Bundle. Visit them online at ptfinalexam.com/pintcast. That's ptfinalexam.com/pintcast.
Working at his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
All right, we're back in the PT Pintcast. We are talking with Rachel Lampros of Stand Haiti. Again, standhaitiproject.org, or follow what they're doing. Follow these guys in more ways than one on Twitter at Stand Haiti. You can check out that video I mentioned earlier. It tells a bunch of really, really good stories in a great way about what these people are doing down there in Haiti. So you mentioned in your bio a pajama enthusiast. What does that mean? Because it sounds comfy.
You know what? I have to say that my favorite part of the day is when I walk through my door and my little poodle mix greets me with something, whether it's a sock or a stuffed animal or a shoe, whatever you can find in close proximity. And then just taking off my work clothes and getting in like flannel pants or like a really nasty sweatshirt with like coffee stains, just something that's had a lot of love.
I thought we were going R-rated. I thought we were going R-rated there for a second because you talked about undressing. We've yet to talk about nudity on the show. We've even said had some women's health PTs on here, but you were getting undressed there for a second. I was like, this thing's taking a turn for the awesome.
No. I'm definitely comfort over anything else. But yeah, it just feels great to pajamas. Who doesn't like a good pair of pajamas?
I love some pajamas. You do feeties in the winter because you're up in Massachusetts. You do the feeties, the full zip up?
I'm a slipper kind of girl. I have this one pair of slippers that's got like holes in the heels and they just feel right. So you got to be loyal. You know, you can't just move on because they might not look pretty.
Yeah. Don't be a pajama whore and just jump around. You got to be monogamous to your PJs.
See, you get it, Jimmy. You get it.
So you're a board certified SCS. Worked with the Olympic Training Center, U.S. Figure Skating, Boston Athletic Association. What's that like? That's got to be really, really cool. I mean, we're coming up on the Olympics. How'd you get into that, and what was that like? What sort of work did you do with those guys?
I'm really privileged. I work in a hospital that really lets me pursue any sort of endeavors I want. So I expressed some interest in going to the training camp out in Colorado Springs, and my boss was all for it. So
wow.
You can do kind of, yeah, I know. You don't see too many bosses like that.
That's cool.
I'm really lucky, yeah. It lets me go to Haiti. I mean, I'm pretty fortunate. So there's opportunity to do an internship. You apply for it. They usually want you, if you're going to be there, to have either your SCS or some sort of like ATC background. So I went for it, and we got to work with men's gymnastics, women's boxing, a little bit with women's wrestling at the time because they were all kind of in-house. We did some swimmers. It was just cool because you're seeing these athletes that are super motivated. And they know their program and they know their bodies so well that you don't really have to pry about like, well, what's going on with your shoulder? Does it hurt at night? Does it hurt in the morning? Like, they can give you their history like no trouble.
I bet.
And equipment they have there is like top of the line. So, I mean, you don't see a lot of that stuff unless you're in like top notch facilities because they have the money and they have the resources to treat these guys. So that was a really cool learning opportunity. Got a lot of exposure to some really high level sports medicine.
That's really, really exciting. And I'm getting, of course, every 4 years, I get super pumped because I'm more of a Summer Olympics guy, getting ready for the swimmers and just seeing those guys getting prepared, all the promos coming up on TV, you know, how many days of counting down to the opening ceremonies and watching everybody qualify. I'm just pumped for it. I'm going to be glued to the TV when the Rio Olympics are going down. So that's got to be cool to be involved with that. So I saw that in your bio. I was like, oh yeah, we got to get to talk about that. Any cool moments? You treat anybody who wound up getting any bling or what?
Actually, I had a couple people that already had a bunch of medals. D'Artagnan is a judo Paralympic judo guy. He's really, really famous. He's got a really cool story as a high school wrestler. Got to work with him a bunch, and he's just a sweetheart. He's going to be doing great this year. I feel really confident that he's going to come home with another medal. And it's just really cool to be on this side of it. I haven't seen these guys in like 2 years, but I keep up with them on Facebook, social media, whatnot. And then you see them on TV, and they're just like crushing it.
Yeah.
To see these guys work so hard for their goals and just like sacrifice so much, and then see it really like show up these rewards. It's awesome. So that was a cool experience. I'd say if you have the opportunity and you have a boss that's as chill as mine, to definitely go out there.
You want to use your boss's name? Maybe you can get a free day off at it. You name drop.
Scott Waugh is the man.
There you go. We'll see if we can get you something out. Maybe a raise once in a while, you know, throw us something good. We're talking about all the work that you do with Stand Haiti. So not only do you go down there to Haiti to help out, but you're also the marketing director. So that's a different way that PTs can get involved in the community. We've talked about that, but you've done some other things, something small and something big. Blood donor since your senior year of high school, and you've worked with the American Red Cross, doing some work with Habitat for Humanity down in Louisiana for Hurricane Katrina. These are things that PTs can do outside of the norm. How do you explain to PTs, maybe students or clinicians who've been practicing for a long time, how do you kind of give them the nudge and like, hey, you know, we can do these different things, and we should be, because number one, they're great. They help our country and our world, and they're also, I mean, they're helping the community understand what PTs do. So how do you explain that to people, why they should get involved in atypical ways?
I think a lot of PTs, we sell ourselves short a little bit on exactly what we can do. Like, oh, I only stretch shoulders. I only teach exercises. And we have a really unique field where we can teach general wellness. We can identify risky movement patterns. We can really implement a lot of change. Just have to be a little creative about it. I think when I first graduated, there weren't as many opportunities for volunteers. You really had to do your research and really had to network to find different ways that you could use your practice to help. And I think as kind of this generation has changed, that they want to do more volunteerism, they want to help more, they want to dedicate time outside of their daily routine, that these opportunities are popping out more. So you just got to look. I mean, Google's great. You know, PT, volunteer, Haiti. Boom. You've got, you know, five different places. Stand is the only one you want to go to. But there's a lot of opportunities out there, you know? As long as you're looking and you're just kind of asking the right people, you'll find a fit. There's just so many things we can do. With the Red Cross, I mean, how much knowledge do we have on general wellness, and whether it's hygiene or just like things that some people don't necessarily know, you know? I think we sell ourselves short with that, for sure.
Yeah, I think you pointed out something that's also very, very important, is some people out there might sell themselves short, or maybe they think they can help and they want to help, but they think, you know, how am I going to set up a volunteer organization in a foreign country? I have no idea how to work with those logistics. But the cool thing is, you just mentioned it. Search for it. Someone is already probably pioneering something. You got Morgan and Justin going to Haiti with you. So jump on board and help row the boat, and we can get more PTs involved in helping some other people. So you don't need to necessarily set up an organization that you want to do something like that for. You can join into something that already exists. So just knowing that these things are out there, because as you mentioned, sometimes patients or future patients don't know the simple things. Sometimes the PTs don't know the simple things, that there are organizations like Stand out there that you can join in on to make a big difference without having to do all the logistics, the heavy lifting yourself.
You don't have to reinvent the wheelhouse here. Like, there's already stuff out there, and there's a huge need for PTs all over the place. It's just about whether you're willing to do a little work to find it, see if it's the right fit for you, and then sacrifice the time to do it.
Cheers to that. Just pay attention to things that are already out there. Don't reinvent the wheel. Jump on. You can make a big difference with people who are already out there trying to make an even bigger difference.
Absolutely.
What does poverty mean? Watching some of the videos that were on the website, and it told a really, really great story at standhaitiproject.org. I'm just going to see how many times I can say the name of the website to get it ingrained in their brain. poverty, from what we saw here in the United States, is one thing. I just got back from a mission trip with Marymount University, where we went to Costa Rica for a couple of weeks, and it's different than you can imagine here in the States. It's on a different scale. It's on a different scope. So cultural awareness is something people need to pay attention to before they do something like this. How was that for you? What did that feel like?
I mean, I think for me, I had this very general sense of what poverty was, and I knew I was going to a poor country. Like, I could spell it, I could identify it, but I didn't really know what it meant to be in it. You know, I think for poverty in the United States, a lot of these people still have access to running water. Some of them even have a cell phone, You know, there's a lot of programs and infrastructure in the states that support people that are in rough times. Haiti does not have that infrastructure. So there is no public health. There's no public education. If you can't afford it, you don't get it. So there are people that are living in huts with no water. They're washing their clothes and they're going to the bathroom in the same water system. That to me was incredibly shocking. Just talking to my translator, and on appearance, he's got jeans on, shorts, and he's going through his phone, showing me his children sitting on a dirt pile in a tin hut, and that's their home.
Wow.
It's just remarkable to see what people are living in out there and how different it is from the States. We're fortunate enough that Justin and Morgan bring us around the community. We usually get in late, so you can't see where we are. And we're in the clinic for the majority of the time we're there. So we do a little walk around Port-au-Pay. You're seeing kids with no clothes on that are starving. You're seeing people that are walking around lethargic and sitting because they haven't eaten all day. I mean, you're hearing stories, just asking your patients like, hey, when's the last time you ate? I didn't eat today because I had to pay for a taxi to get here. Well, it's 6 o'clock at night. You haven't eaten. It's just remarkable. Like, to see poverty is one thing. Like, you can watch it on TV. You can see the Sarah McLachlan video in the background. But to actually be there was hard for me, especially the children. You know, you have these parents that we might easily kind of like neglect, say they're neglectful parents, you know, just pass judgment very quickly. But these parents have no resources. They know there's something wrong with their child, whether they have this tone, they're not walking, they don't feel good, they've been crying for days. But if my six-month-old has a fever, I don't have the ability to get them to the doctor for 3 days because I need to save the money. I need to ask the community if they can help me get enough money to go see the doctor, pay for the doctor, pay for the tests from the doctor, and then pay for the treatment. Most people can't afford that. For me, the realization that, like, our access to public health, public schooling, it was so taken for granted. It was astonishing to me.
Yeah, it puts that word poverty on a different end of a very, very growing scale. You know, you think you know what poor is until you go somewhere that's even poorer and you say, wow, that's what poverty is really, really like. And what an impact something as simple as the practice of physical therapy and bringing volunteers can actually make a big, big difference on people who have nothing. Having nothing. You know, I might say I got nothing to eat in the fridge downstairs, but yeah, I can. There's a supermarket down the street and I can just go run a card through the checkout line and I've got food. But when you don't have that, you're not going to have that for a long time. That gives a new meaning to the term poverty.
My coworkers been like, Rach, you know, you're doing a lot of work there. It seems like it's, you know, what are you really doing? Are you really making lasting changes? You're seeing these people once. And then that's it. To me, my argument is, okay, I see this guy once. He hasn't been able to work in 6 months because of his knee pain. And I give him enough tools. I give him a brace. I give him some exercises. I give him some mobility work. And now he can go to work and he can get some food on the table for his family. To me, yeah, that might be a one visit, short-term impact, but that just gave that guy a way to basically provide for his family. And there's all these small ripple effects, and I think it's really easy to get discouraged and negative and be like, Haiti's so crazy, we're never going to make any huge impact. But it's these small little changes that cumulatively add up to a lot. And that's why I think the Stand Project is just, it's got so much real, like, potential and magic happening there that if we can get this clinic running autonomously in the next few years, just on to the next place and just keep building this model and keep growing.
Yeah, that's an admirable project you guys are doing. And I think it's definitely a story worth telling, and that story will spread. I mean, I mentioned earlier about the service project we went with to Costa Rica with school. And we've been going there for 7 years now as a PT program, always in our third year. My class, after we left last time, had a patient with muscular dystrophy who was in a chair and was just at the mercy of his caregivers in terms of moving him around. And as a class, we just decided that wasn't good enough. And we're going to raise some money for a power wheelchair. And we bought that for him. And that's happy to report now that's going to be down there in a couple of weeks. So we get to deliver that. So this is the first time we're actually sharing that story. So our patient G, who's 18 in Costa Rica, is going to get that chair in a couple of weeks. And I may or may not be on that airplane with the wheelchair. Fingers crossed. It looks like it works out that I'm going to be able to deliver it for him. And I, you know, I'm going to have a microphone in my hand to talk with him. But that's a big difference. You know, you're talking about him not, you know, not being able to move and not being able to get around. His mobility is gone. So, you know, why am I wasting my time selling t-shirts and talking on a podcast and getting people to give me a buck here and a buck there? It'll make a difference. And if, even if it makes a difference for that kid for a day, I'll take it. I'll sit here on this podcast and yammer on and on and on, you know, to help some kid somewhere it's far away. I'll do that. So I think what you guys are doing is amazing. And I think it's definitely a story that needs to be told. So if you hear this episode, maybe you can donate. You know, every buck helps and it multiplies, and that's great. But I'd also like to say you can donate by helping to spread the word. Spreading the word about this thing that is Stan. So you can check out that website again. It's stanhaityproject.org, and you just sharing that will magnify the effect of what 40 people do every time they go on a trip, because that word will spread, and that's how stuff gets done. That's how mountains get moved. I'm getting all philosophical and deep. I'm using cliches left and right. I love it here, right? That's why I'm getting big. But you're also the marketing director. So what are some things that people can check out? Where can they find out more about you other than that website that I've said 87 times?
You got all forms of social media going. You've got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I think the big thing for, you know, Stan and just kind of creating better awareness is we can talk about this all day long, and we're going to get some sort of emotions, get people all jazzed up about it. But you start seeing these patients, you start seeing their faces, hearing their stories, and seeing their before and afters. And I think it just puts a name to the face, and it gives you a little bit more like, wow, okay, like it didn't sound like they were doing much down there. Like, how much real change can they impart in 2 weeks? Holy crap, that kid's walking now. So the Facebook page, Instagram page, we've been trying to update just like personal stories, whether it's the translator's background or even some of our clinicians, like why they're coming back and why this is an important project to them. So, you know, check it out. Give us some feedback. If you have any questions, Justin, Morgan, and I are really easy to get in touch with. This is kind of an encompassing project, so we're all about it, and we're more than welcome to talk about it. So if you guys have questions, just reach out to us, and one of us will get back to you.
Also, make sure Twitter's at Stan Haiti. You want to make sure everybody can get in touch with you, and we're going to have more information at that the Chaser online at ptpintcast.com. Just click on the blog section. So every episode is a pint, and before we're done with the pint, we have the shots. That's why we need the Chaser. So if you were to leave people with a lasting message about why you do the things that you do in terms of the extracurricular, the atypical ways that you bring PT around the world, what would you say to those people?
It's really easy with our job to just get into a routine and not want to push yourself in terms of your practice, not want to expand your clinical background. And it's opportunities like this that make you want to be better. And I think that's what keeps you motivated in your job. It's what keeps things fresh. It keeps things meaningful. For a job like PT, when there's a lot of clinics that are high volume and a lot of patients that are in pain and not happy, it's opportunities like Stan where you can get outside yourself and be like, wow, I've got this really cool skill and I can help people, and it makes me feel all warm inside, and it's worth it. That's what Stan's done for me. That's what Haiti's done for me. I can't wait to get back there, and I hope more people come on board, because it's a fun ride.
Yeah, the warm and fuzzy feeling deep in the cockles of your heart, that's free with the just showing up with the trip.
Exactly. I mean, pajamas do help with that warm feeling, so I will endorse that as well.
I like it. All right, we're going to hear more about Rachel and Justin and Morgan eventually. I want to keep telling this story, so we're going to have some more people on in future episodes. I'm making that promise right now. Figured I said the website 1,000 times. Why not make it 1,001? Check it out on standhaitiproject.org, Twitter handle at standhaiti. I want to thank you for coming on the show, but I really want to thank you for doing the things that you do, because it's just a good human being thing to do.
Thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate you just getting the word out there and supporting our project. It means the world to us. And, you know, anybody that's interested in it, just reach out, and you're the best. Thanks a lot.
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they? The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.